The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host. I am here, and I just get mushy every time I hear this music. My friend Bent Migan wrote it about, I think about maybe 20 years ago for this radio show. We're actually in our 22nd year of radio, and we're inviting any angels or sponsors to bring us into your neighborhood. So if you have any contacts to help us, call us at 310-455-8623. That's 310-455-8623. You're listening to Waking Up in America, and we do dynamic radio dialogues. And boy, have we got one for you today. If the stars are perfectly aligned, we'll have a Cantor that shows up to actually help us out with what we're doing. Cantors are great because they always send a message straight to God, and I always think that's a good route. On top of that, he'll be talking about kindred spirits, and if he's not able to be here, I will be talking about kindred spirits, which is an event Sunday, July 7th at the Walt Disney Concert Hall, and it's going to be honoring, actually, the Grossman Burn Centers, Ed Asner, and Heifer. I love it, and you should check out our website at WakingUpInAmerica.com. That's WakingUpInAmerica.com, and we've actually got the tags for that here. You can find out a little bit about our guests. There's some interesting things on our website. We want you to check our testimonials. Also, there's a pretty funny cartoon of Barack Obama walking his Portuguese water dog. The dog's swimming, and Obama is walking on water. I like that one a lot. If you scroll towards the bottom of the page, you'll actually find a Race for the Rainforest. And if you click on there, you can actually sign up for the Race for the Rainforest, which is a powerful thing to do because you can actually save marine wetlands, American prairie, and rainforest. And every 7 square feet you save, it gets matched. So we can, one click at a time, take our planet back and put it into the kind of things we like. There's also a pouty little kid. I love her dearly. She's here to find a cure before she grows boobs. And she's cuter than heck. You can make contributions to our radio show and get a 501c3 receipt, because Waking Up in America is now under the auspices of the Golden Hearts Foundation, which you can also find out more about on the webpage. And if you want to ask a question while we're on the air, just simply send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and if we can work it in, by gosh, we will. So to start things off, let's remember what our forefathers offered us. So I'm going to actually do the Pledge of Allegiance with you today, which until I started this practice, I probably hadn't done since the last baseball game that I had been at, a Dodger game, I think, was the last time I did the Pledge of Allegiance. And I think it reminds us about who we're up to and what we stand for as a country. So if you place your hand over your heart, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and in 1984, I carried the Olympic torch. And if any of you know what it's like to pick up a torch and carry it, our guests do. They haven't carried Olympic torches, but they have their torches as well. And when you pick up these torches and you start to carry them about what your mission is, what your value is on the planet, the gifts that you've been given, and you let all the shrouding fall aside, then a very interesting thing happens. You get turned on, maybe for the first time in your life. So we invite you to do that. We've had incredible guests on Waking Up in America, like, oh, my God. J.J. Virgin, if you've ever heard her talk, that's a good trip on nutrition. She's worked with Dr. Phil. She's does her own thing. She's written a book. She's just an amazing human being. We've had internationally known Mary Louise Zeller, who at 45 decided to learn Taekwondo, and at 65 is the world champion. Also, the very solar Mr. Larry Hagman, Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network, says we're doing radio that will change the world. He's right. So help us make all this true by letting your friends know about us and visit our site and sign up for our newsletter and do all that kinds of good stuff. Our site, once again, is wakingupinamerica.com. Now, if you hear a telephone ringing or a dog barking or an angel singing or God knows what Prana and Lita have going on over at their spaces, just know this is an extremely real television radio program. We call in from our homes and offices all over the place to start this thing, even sometimes internationally. So we take breaks periodically, and we like to acknowledge the good guys. But right now, I want to acknowledge, first of all, I want to thank Maggie Migan.
Yes.
Because for 20-some-odd years, Maggie talked about something called the honored guest. And Mr. Prana, that yes you just heard, is actually, I met him at a remarkable conversation held at the Lloyd Wright House in, what's that, it's on Fountain, isn't it, Prana, I think?
It's on Franklin.
Franklin, there you go.
Simple home.
And it's an amazing home. What I found out later, which I don't know if you know or not, it was actually it was actually part of a scene for the Black Dahlia murders.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I did not.
So what a remarkable transformation Zoran has put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this man has taken a Lloyd Wright House and totally redone it into an extraordinary space. And Maggie, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and knowing what she does, Maggie's a really elegant human being with great talent and great taste in human beings. She put on an event. I want to guess there were like 80 people there. Would you think so, Prana?
It was 100, actually.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that fit in very nicely. And guess who came with me when I went to this event? And when I saw her talking to Prana, I thought it might be love at first sight, but I'm not sure. And well, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about these guys in a minute, but I just want to introduce their souls to you. So, Lita Albuquerque, what happened when you went to honored guest?
It was such an extraordinary experience from the beginning, just the house, as you mentioned, which looks like a Mayan castle, like a Mayan temple, really, and the beautiful restoration that was done. And then when Prana started speaking, it was like, okay, you know, so he had to almost die to come to the inside world, which is so much really where we all need to draw from and where we really, truly our souls live, and where I come from in terms of my creativity into my art that I do all over the planet.
Okay, so I'm just going to read a brief thing out of your bio, Lita.
Okay.
Because I've known you for years, and I'm still impressed. Albuquerque's work questions our place in the enormity of infinite space and eternal time. Despite a rising flood of new data and interpretive theory, the most elemental concepts of an emerging scientific cosmology are simply not embedded in everyday culture. Conversely, the meaning of this cosmology does not seem implicit in the science. Lita Albuquerque has not flinched. I like that. Okay. From the scale of such a challenge. In a dazzling array of work at many scales and in a variety of media, she has worked to develop visual language capable of bringing the realities of vast space and time to a more human scale. Now, Prana, you are like the living example of this conversation, in my opinion. Like, you're the guy that for a period of at least 7 years, we think it's older, but we haven't got your updated thing yet, lived mostly alone as an ascetic in the wilderness and hot, around hot springs and stuff like that. So you're doing the ground, the experience on Earth, relating to the Earth, and Lita is relating to the galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those two things are on their way to dancing with each other today. So you had a interesting experience when you were, what, 18, was it, when you had your motorcycle flying experience?
17 was the first
17. Time. Would you give us a brief rundown on that, and then, Lita, I'll ask you to join in there.
Okay, sure. Okay. Well, basically, at age 17, I was driving down a residential street on my motorcycle at over 100 miles an hour, and I came up over the top of a hill, flew in the air, and looked out, and a car was backing out of a driveway. And so at that point, I knew that I was going to die, And something interesting happened. Time started to slow way down. Very interesting. And as it happened, everything began to move in slow motion, and I felt the presence of my guides or my angels, and they said, "This is the first of your agreed upon near death experiences."
Okay, very good. Now, I know you don't know this because I brought my friend Candace to this event as well. That really incredible little black woman that's all like spicy and adorable.
Yes, I remember.
Well, so and Candace and I have never talked about spirituality. And I called her up after the event. I said, "How did you like it?" She said, "Val, I want to tell you something interesting." She said, "When I was 12 years old, I was riding my bicycle across the street."
Uh-huh.
Okay. And a car was coming straight at me, and I thought it was over. And she said, "The next thing I knew, the car had gone by, and my bicycle and myself were on the curb."
Yeah.
Okay. So it started me thinking, now, Candace is a spiritual person, but this is not a realm that she's been interested in. And I bet our listeners have a near-death experience. And, Lita, I was wondering if you have anything like that.
I haven't had a near-death experience. I did. One thing happened when I was about 7 years old, which I think really affected me. I was raised in a Catholic convent in Carthage in North Africa, and I was playing badminton, of all things, and the little birdie went into the bushes, and I ran after it, and I ended up with about 1,500 bee bites. I was stung by I found an entire
Jesus
hornet.
God. That's a test.
And after that, I think I was never the same. I started having visions, and later on, I became very close to being able to connect with people who had already passed over, and was able to have communication.
Wow, those bees gave you a jolt.
Yes, I think they put in me, the extraordinary consciousness of bees.
You might want to tell Prana and our listeners what event you put on in Malibu at Pepperdine.
Oh, yes. I did an exhibit at the Fred Wiseman Museum at Pepperdine that I called AOR. AOR is a Egyptian term, hieroglyphic, that means magical light. And the whole thing was about the relationship between astronauts and beekeepers and how they both look alike. And then I thought, well, what does a beekeeper does? He helps maintain biological life on the planet. And an astronaut I started calling a starkeeper, who helps maintain balance in the cosmos. And I did two videos that had to do with transmutation, and also did a whole poem about that relationship. And the idea of that we really live in the stars.
Well, I was actually thinking, too, when you're talking, Lita, about how that video that you made,
yes,
where the bees came in.
Yes.
And you could hear the buzzing in the whole room.
Yes.
Do you think maybe that your past in Tunisia had something to do with this exhibit?
You know, it's funny. At the time, I never thought about it. But I think doing the project kind of brought it up. Actually, the reason I did the project was when I was in Egypt for the very first time in 1988, I had a vision of looking at the planet from space, and instead of continents the way we know it, it was one landmass, and it was in the shape of a honeybee.
Huh.
I was really surprised, and I researched it, and it turned out that the honeybee was a symbol of Lower Egypt, and then I went more and more into it, and it was really about the relationship between the two. So when I heard Prana speak and what kind of experiences he went through and how he brings in and talks about the other side.
I just want to check out here with Prana something. Prana, when you were being that, first of all, what age did you start going out to be that person who lived as an ascetic?
You know, it's very interesting because I was very spiritually open and aware my entire life. And I was,
even before 17 in the accident?
Before 17. 17 is what actually opened up the first floodgate. Before that, I even remember age 3, 4, 5 having interactions with angels regularly.
Wait, slow down.
Oh, yeah.
Slow down. I'd like to hear a little bit more, like at 4 or 5, how these angels came to you. Were they, you know, how they were dressed? Did they show up as tangible or intangible or what?
They were beings of light, sort of amorphous. Kind of similar to what Andy Lakey does, if you've seen his artwork. But basically, you know, the angels present themselves to us the way we're expecting for them to look.
And
everything in the universe is waiting for an observer to tell it what to look like.
So Eugene Whitworth wrote a book called The Nine Faces of Christ. Have you ever read that?
I have read it. It impacted me greatly.
Okay, so I talked to him.
Yeah.
He and I were friends. I don't think he's still alive because what I called the last few times, I've gotten a disconnected number. So I didn't ever interview him on the radio show. Lita, you actually turned me on to the book.
Yes.
And I was gaga bananas over this book. And I used, when they had a cell phone in the plane, and when I finished reading the book in the plane, I just called the publisher and said, I need to talk to this man. And they gave me his phone number. There had not been a call on him in like 7 years.
Wow.
So I called him. And we started talking. One of the things that he told me, he said he had continuous memory from the time of Christ.
Right.
Okay. The other thing he told me was that that he was a non-believer. I believe he was an engineer or something. Mm. Until these two beings, just like you described, showed up at the foot of his bed.
Yep.
Gave him this whole thing, and he went white. And he covered up his head and went back to sleep. And the next day, two men got out of a car. He was at like a university or something on the bridge with his friends having a smoke. Two guys got out of a car, walked over to him, and gave him the ring that the angels had mentioned the day before.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And handed it to him in person. And he said that's when his life changed.
Uh-huh.
So, were you scared when these beings showed up? Were you going to say something later?
No, they were beings of unconditional love and light, and I used to really look forward to them coming. And they would tell me the same thing over and over again. They would just be with me to comfort me, and they would keep saying to me, "You have a particular mission that you've agreed to do on this planet, and you're going to forget it. And we're here to help you keep as much of the memory as you can, so that it's easier to remember it when you do need to remember it."
You know what I think listeners could connect to is Men in Black.
Yes.
Men in Black is a lot of this conversation that's been put on the screen.
Yeah.
So you can pick it up and you can do it, and I don't know that there are gargoyle creatures and burpy things with glue and stuff like that. But
another movie was Wings of Desire.
Yeah?
It's all about angels.
Uh-huh.
Was that the one for the German guy?
Yes.
His last name begins with a W?
It was not Werner Herzog. No, it was. I'm forgetting his name right off the top.
No, I'm not thinking of Werner Herzog. The last name was a W, and I believe that his work was the inspiration for City of Angels.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, interesting stuff. It's already in the culture. But what you've got is two live human beings here, or actually three of us here, relating to that. So why do you think you're so open? Is your family open?
Oh, no, not at all. I was born into a family that couldn't understand anything that was happening to me. And after the first near-death experience at 17, of course, I tried to talk to people about it, and they thought I was insane. Oh, you had a hard hit to the head.
Right. No, I get it. Mm-hmm. And you did probably, too, but it didn't matter. You already had it.
Uh-huh. I already had it, and no one could understand, and so I learned how to keep strategic silence about it.
Well, I was going to say the same thing, because I've had a lot of very powerful connections, Brian, and I've only done a radio show like this maybe 3 times in 22 years.
Okay,
so it isn't. I almost felt that in meeting you and having Lita there and me being there in the particular circumstances we were, that it was a demand from the universe to put these conversations out. And I think we need to do it more often because there's so much fear mongering going on right now. I mean, the swine flu epidemic is absurd.
Yes.
Well, I had very similar experiences in prana, except I didn't see them visually, but it was all auditorily.
Yeah? What did you hear?
They would speak to me and say all kinds of things. And you know, like we're beings of light, you know, and yeah. love, and I mean, it was pretty wonderful. And I wrote for years what I heard.
So and what we're hearing in our culture, Lita and Prana, I propose is attempts to manipulate the unevolved self.
Yes.
Yes.
So
exactly. Yeah.
What do you think you bring to culture in your conversation and in your art, Lita, that people can like look at, understand, and grasp so that they broaden their conceptions?
Well, what I do with the work, by using material, too, I use color and I use the very elemental shapes and ideas and very simple things. I'm hoping that it makes for alchemical transformation.
And what is the alchemical transformation you accept? Or expect from your cobalt blue that you use quite frequently?
Well, I'm hoping it opens them up, just like Prana is talking about, you know, being open, that openness. I think that when people walk into my studio, which is completely white and has this blue 4-foot diameter sphere, they everybody stops in their tracks and is affected, and other projects I've done too. So and then when I speak about what I do in terms of the relationship to the stars and how we have to align ourselves to that light, which is consciousness, you know, people are starting. There's such a difference in the conversation. I thought when Prana was speaking that there was a tremendous understanding of him, and yet he spoke about such, you know, deep things that I think it takes time, too, that it's almost like a cellular shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens when he speaks.
So I think we're shifting right now, and I'll tell you something else. I don't know if either of you have seen Angels and Demons.
I have seen it.
Don't you think there's a couple of shifts built in there?
Oh, yes. Very intentional.
I thought, wow, are these guys good?
Yes.
I just want to get Tom Hanks and Ron Howard on here, and I want to talk about what they're really doing.
Yeah.
Because they missed the mark a little bit with the first one.
Yeah,
it was good, but it was just like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the second movie, in my opinion, Prana, and I'm so glad you agree, it actually has, I'm going to say, at least two shifts built into it. Would you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. Yeah.
You think there's any more than two, and I missed one?
Yes, there are quite a few subtle ones. I'd have to watch the movie with you.
Yeah, well, I'd love to. But the two that I noticed in particular were the cyclotron.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say what the other one is, because I don't want to steal the pleasure.
Yeah.
But I actually went back to see the movie had such a profound effect on me, you guys, that I actually started to reverberate. I had no control over it.
Uh-huh.
I was in the movie theater, and my body was jerking around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with a friend. She did not have that intense an experience. But there's something that's very penetrating, and it's intentionally designed. I have zero doubt about that.
Yes.
So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, people make fun sometimes of Dan Brown, but I think he's very...
Oh, anybody that makes fun of Dan Brown needs to go eat donuts and drink coffee somewhere and forget it. That guy's doing amazing work. Have you read the rest of his books?
No.
Oh, there's something in every one of them. You could take Dan Brown's work and you could shift consciousness in at least five or six different places if you played it right. So that's exciting to know. That what we're talking about, it's talked about on the screen even to some degree.
Very,
you know, what we have a series on television now. What is it? Saving Grace. She always has this angel Earl that shows up to try to straighten her out, which is, of course, impossible, according to the script. So, Prana, you've done so many things, you know, all the way from your experiences to being a yoga therapist to... anthropology, how interesting,
mm-hmm.
To an exchange student in Japan.
Yeah.
What would you really like to let our listeners know? We're going to take a break in about 3 or 4 minutes, but before that time, I want to tease the heck out of them, and then we'll handle it after the break. So how could you tease somebody in the next couple of minutes?
Well,
with this vast array of talents that you have.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm here. I'm a light worker. I'm here on this planet to help shift human consciousness, and the way in which I do that is talking about what it's like to actually leave your body, interact with the non-physical world, and then come back into your body, and then attempt to translate that experience into words that people can understand.
Now, do you think everybody is trainable to this position if they're interested in it?
Yes. if their interest indicates that their evolution is ready to receive that kind of information.
Now, I myself had my crown chakra opened up by a sweet little Kundalini man, a Sikh, like 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I had that happen at the John Adams Junior High School gym, you know? So I'm saying this intentionally because everywhere we are is what we need.
Yes.
Wherever we are.
Exactly.
Now, even to this, I know something about prana that you don't know, Lita.
Okay.
He speaks French.
Ah.
So great. I thought you might like to say something incredible to him in French.
Mais vous êtes vraiment merveilleux. Je voudrais bien vous connaître un peu plus aussi.
Tu parles français très bien.
Oui, oui.
Afrique du Nord.
Oui, c'est ça. Et vous?
Non, j'ai habité en Paris et j'ai appris le français en collège de ville de San Francisco.
Ah bon? Ah
ouais.
Bon.
Actually, I understood a little bit of it. And when you speak to each other in French, how does your experience change than when you were just talking in English?
It always shifts for me. It's
yeah, exactly. I just wanted you to share this with the listeners.
Oh, because, yeah. Like, everything is vibrations.
Yes.
And so everything matters, uh-huh. Right? So different languages, of course, have different vibrations. So it shifts your entire vibratory system.
Personality shifts everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that is totally terrific. Well, we're going to be taking a little break right now. We'll be right back after the break as they tell us actually more about what they're doing and share more with you. And, hey, notice it's pretty interesting stuff here. We want to acknowledge the good guys that make Waking Up in America possible, and then the Stardoves. If you want to advertise an event by email, these guys have the best prices, and the quality of your mailing list is the quality of the people that you're listening to on the show today. It's the best-kept secret on the planet. To reach Stardoves, call 828-665-0411. Now, if you've had enough of what's going on in America or you want to just take a quick break, before I say this, I'm going to say that the swine flu is a hoax.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to hear more about this baloney hoax, you can call me up, and I'll be happy to tell you that we have 35,000 people in the U.S. that die of influenza, and we've had two deaths in the U.S., and all you hear about is swine flu. It's destroyed Mexico's travel industry. It's taken all the pigs out of Egypt and 300,000 little dead piggies when swine flu isn't caused by pigs. Just that's my little rant for this afternoon. So I'm going to tell you, Roberto's Bungalows are waiting for you in beautiful San Pancho, Mexico, 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. And I'm sure they will welcome you with open arms because if you're there, you're intelligent, and you're taking advantage of a really unique situation because the flights to San Pancho or to Puerto Vallarta have gone from 30 a day to 3. Thanks to this baloney fog thing that's going on. So, once again, call Steve and Diana, 971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120. These people rock. It's great. The beach is fabulous, and it shouldn't be too crowded. So I think you'll really love it. I also invite you to listen to what we've got coming up next. Dear friend of mine, Joy, actually put this together, along with a team of highly transformed people. And believe me, my only regret is I don't have her on the show today with you guys, because this woman knows angels like the back of her hand. She's actually planted crystals all over the planet to bring up the frequency. She's just an amazing, gifted woman, and she's made available to people through the Internet divine transmission. And you can actually go down to the bottom of our webpage. You'll see Diamond Alignment. Click on it, and you'll get an experience of the transition. And the reality of the situation is you can go to your computer any day of the time or night when you're stressed or crazy, play this transmission, and you will feel different. That's the promise. So with that, let's go to Diamond Alignment.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. Experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of diamond alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
I had a lot of very agitated shows last year because we were doing the election.
Uh-huh.
You would hear them going, you know, like they were doing, ar, 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 in the first half of the show.
Uh-huh.
And then in the second half of the show, with one exception, you would hear like a softness and a gentleness
uh-huh.
that was in people's voices from a single listening to the transmission. Did you? Could you feel it, Prada? You can say no. It's okay if you didn't.
Wait, no, I thought you were talking about... We're not on the air, are we?
Yeah.
We are, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to know if you were able to experience that transmission.
I am tuned in, tapped in, and turned on 24/7.
Oh, got it. So you have nothing. You have no need to access.
I've always got that connection to the center of creation. And
did you always, when you were born, even...
Yes, I did.
You didn't have a troublesome childhood or anything?
What my angels kept telling me is there came a point, I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, when I was starting having trouble seeing them, and they told me that that would be coming. So what I used to do, I had a window that was facing the east in my bedroom, and right when the sun broke the horizon and shone in through the window, if I hit the bed, it would cause the dust particles to go up in the air. And as that happened, I could see them again. And that's sort of like if you took flour and poured it on the invisible band. You know?
Yeah. So you could see them every night or every morning?
That was my technique. Just in the morning when the sun was coming through, if I hit the bed, it would show the outline of their forms, and I could remember again. But the other thing that clued me when they were coming is that I would begin to hear the music of the spheres.
Wow.
You know, I was in a social services agency I'm going to say 30 years ago now, and I was actually doing... a spiritual practice at the agency, and we had like about 20 people.
Mm.
We were down in the lobby, and we were humming.
Yeah.
And I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, out of the 30 of us, about 20 of us heard it, and the other 10 didn't.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us more what that is?
The music of the spheres is amazing, and I began to, in other words, it's when all the great composers say that they just heard their music,
yeah.
Beethoven or Mozart, they actually did. When I remember when I went into that space, if I had known, and you can go there even when you fast. I've also experimented with fasting, you know, 30 days at a time.
Yeah? When you fast, are you doing just water or anything else?
Just water, and I've even done some where I'll go for a week with no food or water.
Oh, my goodness.
And you begin to hear the music of the spheres, and it's, you're hearing the most beautiful symphonies ever written. If I had known how to transcribe music, I could have written it down.
Oh, got it.
It's playing constantly.
Well, maybe you need to put that on your list as another one of your accomplishments, Juilliard or something.
And there are overtones and undertones. It's very interesting. So whenever now even when I meditate, if I go out into nature, which I do 2 or 3 days a week, I pack way into places where you can't feel any of the EMFs. The cell phones won't ring, and when I get out into the places like that, I'll stretch, breathe, and meditate for 7 or 8 hours.
Good Lord.
That's really the way that I keep myself in my center, in my balance, and feeling equanimous and harmonious, and able to really share deeply with people during my workshops and seminars.
Now, Lita, you find that same kind of thing at the beach, don't you, when you run?
I do. It's felt quite, you know, I wish I could hear the music of the spheres. That sounds... It's absolutely phenomenal.
I've only heard it once, and I was dumbfounded
yes.
at the beauty of it.
Yep. But I do. I go to the beach, and this entire series of meditations came to me while I was running about, I don't know, 20 years ago. And it's all about connecting, you know, to the universe, and it's pretty spectacular. So I'm in that space, and it is a, I call it energetic meditation.
You know, Prana, I want to thank both you and Lita, okay? Because Prana, I think you're probably the purest energy form of the three of us.
Yeah.
Just from, you know, the things that you've been able to accomplish. I've done fast, but I never did 30-day fast without, you know, just on water and stuff like that. I've done different kinds of fasts like that. I feel like I'm like a smidgen. I've opened up like a smidgen of my capacity compared to what you've allowed. And I appreciate whatever world it was that made it safe for you to do that. Because I have heavenly companions. I've known that. I've had my buns saved so many times, it's embarrassing.
Yes.
You know, you have your almost sitting an old lady in a car. I am coming home from my mother's on Christmas Day in my ZX, right? I like speed too, honey. I thought I'd grow up to be a racetrack driver, maybe, at least for one of my personalities for a minute. And I end up aquaplaning in the rain and spinning around in a circle, and on either side of me is like a green dump truck painted bright green, protecting me from all the traffic. And as soon as I come out of the spin, I go on, and it was just like, and they came from nowhere, and they went to who knows where.
Yeah.
That would have been the end of me.
Yeah. I had a very similar experience. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. See, when you start talking, and by the way, I hope in the listening audience here, we have somebody poking their friend in the arm saying, what about the time you did such and such? Because that's how we're going to bring it. What was your experience, Lita?
Exactly that. I was in the middle of Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu, and I was in, I think, a Volvo station wagon, and I completely spun around, like,
like
365 degrees.
Mid- yeah.
And I was heading straight for, like, a 2000, whatever time year it was, straight towards this Porsche, this bright red Porsche.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, instead of going perpendicular, it just... You know, all of a sudden it became parallel to it with like half an inch difference.
And, yeah. And you went, holy mother of God.
Yeah, totally.
You got out of that one.
Oncoming traffic, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think if you look into your life and you're dubious, you know, about whether angels were actually there or not, there's just so many skills we have. I was with Larry Hagman, Prana, on the Santa Monica Pier. Because I was the hydrogen car drive director in 2001 for Dennis Weaver. And Larry was talking to me. He's a precious human being. I just adore this man. And the press came up to take a photograph of him, I thought. So I backed away. And he goes, he's got his arm around me. He goes, no, darling, you're with me. Next thing I know, I'm inside of a plastic bubble, it feels like. And I can hear the cameras flickering outside, you know, the pops.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm in this bubble. And I then it went away when they were done. I said, okay, so what did you do? He just smiled at me. And he says, Mama taught me how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mama was Mary Martin.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I don't even know the rest of what he knows. But I know there's a lot of people around here that know a lot, and I know that you and Lita are two of them. And I think there could be some great benefit of you putting together some kind of a joint project.
I'm open to that.
Somehow, maybe, Lita, you might considering seeing if there's somehow that you can turn into art the conversation.
Oh, very much so.
That you and Prana have been having, and maybe even throw in a few French words while you're at it, because we didn't really talk about that, but the language that you speak also determines your possibility.
Yes.
Yes, and I think people have so much to learn from this, and I think when you make it even larger, you know, we're really weaving this beautiful. I had an image when I was 10 years old that there was an image that humanity needed to remember.
Yeah.
That all we needed to do was to, like, that we were all like little blades of grass, and that what we had to do was dig deep into our roots, and then we'd come back up, but it was only with all the blades of grass together that it would form that image, and we would remember and then go on.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting what you're touching
on.
Yeah, it is. When I was in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, I was, like, packed in this crowd of 2.5 million people. There was a point in that conversation where the people disappeared, and all of a sudden I was a cell in the human body.
Yeah, exactly.
And I totally had that connection. The same thing happened when I was carrying the Olympic torch. I shifted from me, Val, doing this with these other people, whether it was great or good, it didn't matter. It was like every single person was a cell.
Yep.
And you shift into that. Can either one of you comment more on that concept?
Oh, sure. You know, when I was out of my body, they showed it to me as human beings being puzzle pieces.
Huh.
And every single piece in the jigsaw puzzle has to be there, or you don't get the complete picture.
Yeah.
And something fascinating that I wanted to comment on is that when I right before I was about to hit the car during this first near-death experience, and I've had four of the NDEs, I only talked about one of them.
I didn't know you had three more following.
And so when I was just about to hit, they said, we're going to pull you out of your body right before the impact so you won't feel the pain. And I said, thank you. And right as I was about to hit, everything's moving in slow motion now. It probably took me 10 minutes to go 100 feet. And I was being prepared for the transition so that I could do it consciously, because the agreement that one of the agreements I had made, I call them pre-birth agreements, was to understand and master conscious exit and entry into the body, regardless of the situation, whether it was death or unconsciousness. And so right before I hit, I popped down and I had a bilocation experience where I was still in the body watching myself hit the car, and I was standing next to my body watching it also. And at that point, the angels actually did a freeze frame on the scene, and they showed me that they could back it up or move it forward at will. And they also made it more pixelated or less pixelated so that it became denser or less dense.
But they couldn't help you miss the car.
They told me at that point that I could reinsert myself into the hologram at any point depending upon what I wanted to learn and what I wanted to get from the experience.
So what did you do, you little smart guy, you?
So, in other words, you can reinsert yourself into the hologram at a place where you actually died permanently physically. That's one of the options. Because all possibilities
really?
Are...
So you could have been... We wouldn't have had this conversation today if you'd chosen differently.
All possibilities are occurring simultaneously. And so we looked at different options. I had a post-life review. And as I came back, I inserted myself into the hologram at a point where I would be injured... with certain injuries that would help me in the future. For example, I broke some vertebrae in my spine, but that's what got me into yoga practice, which is what got me into meditation, which is what got me into spiritual practices in general.
Why don't you tell them a little bit about materialization and dematerialization as well?
Exactly.
I think it kind of fits here.
Okay, so when I popped out of my body, what I noticed was that I could either see things as seemingly solid, which nothing is really solid, or I could see it as pure energy and anything in between. In other words, it's like a potentiometer, and you can take it from the higher vibration to a lower vibration. And they were showing me how, and even at the scene of the accident, there were people running out of the houses. It was a neighborhood. People were screaming, call the ambulance. A man was trying to help my body that I was watching on the ground. And I patted him. I tried to pat him on the back. I said, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Because he was screaming. He was in panic. He was in terror. And I said, don't worry. I'm fine. And I patted him on the back, and my hand went through his body. And at that point, I said, whoa, something has seriously shifted. So materialization, dematerialization, it's all a matter of frequency and the perspective that
so you
you're...
You said something interesting at the talk, and I'm going to just interject now because we're kind of running out of time, and I want to get this in, and then I want to have Lita have a closing here. But you were talking about how we don't really move. We actually
exactly.
materialize and dematerialize as we go through space. So I don't walk from one room to the next, me walking.
You don't. You don't walk. It just appears that you walk from the perspective that your spirit has from inside of this biocomputer earth suit, which is basically what we're inside of, because it's not us. We're not our bodies. And the metaphor that I used at the talk was, if you've seen the old cathode ray televisions, if you've ever taken photographs of them and looked, you'll see various stages. They have lines that go horizontally, and it builds the lines at a very rapid rate from top to bottom. From top to bottom. And if you take a photograph, it'll catch it with a third or a quarter or three quarters, depending on when you take the shot. So we're not actually moving, because you're always at the center of creation and you're always at the center of the universe.
Well, you know, Prana, for people that have played with those, like, cartoon slides?
Yes.
Or people that have played with those Dexy Flip?
Yes, yes.
Where you
yes,
flip the
yes.
pictures in the People's Run? The People's Run. Where did
exactly
I get that
what's
from?
Happening. That's exactly what's happening. It's as you take a step, it's that, in other words, if you have an object in your left hand, for example, you have a pencil in your hand right now, and you pass it to your right hand, it's not the same pencil. And every single point in between where your left and your right hand is, it's a different pencil, a different pencil, a different pencil as it's moving, you know, fractions of millimeters. It's deconstructing and reconstructing. Your body's deconstructing and reconstructing as you move, seem to move through space. Because you aren't moving, because you can't move, because it's all here.
Well, this is really interesting. So, Lita, as you listen to this conversation, how does this conversation relate to what you're saying in art?
Well, I just wanted to interject something with what Prana just said about that it's all here. One of the things that I've been kind of involved with, and also a very dear friend of mine, Karen Avedon, who did die and come back, is the idea that, you know, what we consider black holes or black dark matter and dark energy is actually right here.
Yes,
that we think it's out there in space, but it's right here in the space.
Well, that's your message, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's out in space is right here?
Yes. That is my message, yes.
Yeah, that is your message. What would you say your message is, Prana?
The same thing in a different way.
That's what I think we connected on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing, and I believe that too, and I actually, in my world, I try to treat everybody as though they're a part of myself.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
And then sometimes I do a better job than others.
Can I just say one thing though? That
yes.
in the fact, you know, in both the message being the same that outer space is right here, but it's also about the fact that we are, it's like it's all that is. Therefore, all information, all knowledge, like.
Yes.
Music of the spheres, you know, everything is right there for us to access.
Yes, exactly.
That's
24/7.
Now, when you were, what is the recent show that you just closed that you did in Pasadena?
Oh, I did an incredible show with astrophysicists. It was a collaboration with Caltech, and I did it, my part of it was a group show, but my part of it was called Stellar Suspension. And I worked with an astrophysicist, John Good, who helped me map the stars. If they were to all fall onto the Earth at the same time, right, one moment in time, we chose the vernal equinox at Greenwich time, and where the light of the stars would fall on the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And we did that, and then I did a project in Antarctica and also the North and the South Poles that had to do with mapping the stars at both poles so that if you drew an imaginary line from point to point, it would be as if a shaft of light was coming through the center of the Earth. But then I thought, but wait a minute, that's just one moment in time. In fact, to our perception, the stars move, and at the north and south, they move counterclockwise in counterclockwise spiraling circles. And if you extend that motion through the center of the Earth with the rotation of the Earth, you get what resembles the double strand of the DNA connected.
Wow, 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 wow. Isn't that giving me chills when you say that?
Yeah.
The other thing, this program I called What's Real, and in reference to what you did in Pasadena, I know that when you did that panel, I was really shocked to find out that the astronomers were interpreting the colors of the stars.
Yes, yes. What they do, they get data, and then they interpret what that data is in terms of color.
So
what
astronomers may really be artists in disguise.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that was a thing that was shocking to both of us, like the Rose Nebula is an interpretation. For instance, or different things. So if we want to take a look at our lives, we're interpreting, that's what we do all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We interpret data every place that we go. So hopefully what we're doing here today is putting some interesting new data into your little interpretation banks so that you have a broader range of interpretation. And I'm sure, Prana, that even though you were gifted from the beginning, you do notice a difference in your capacity to receive, I'm sure. I don't know how old you are. What are you, in your 30s?
47, actually.
47? Go to pranazone.com and check out what this guy looks like. He does not look like 47.
Not at all.
Not at all. And you can also go to LitaAlbuquerque.com, and you can also go to StellarAxis.com, which is another one of her projects. I cruised them, you guys, again last night, so that I can just get in touch with your magic, both of you. I just love what it is that you're doing here. So let's see. I'm going to figure out. We've actually got about 4 minutes left. So how would you like to wrap it up for yourself, Prana? You have some workshops, or how do they contact you for availability, and how does that work?
Okay, great. Well, I offer a PowerPoint presentation called 2012 Mysteries Unveiled, which is about 180 slides that are amazing. You saw the very abbreviated version at the presentation over at Zoren's. And I usually do, it's a six-hour presentation. I do it in two parts, usually like two Tuesdays in a row or something. And I have another presentation I give called Over and Back. And it's just about the four near-death experiences and going into great depth in those. And that usually takes me about 9 hours to do that one. I usually do it in three parts.
Now, are these video conferences or in-person conferences? And if they're in-person, where are they and all that good stuff?
At this time, I'm doing, but I'm also doing a workshop called Spiritual Amnesia Recovery.
Workshop. I'll sign up.
And it's, it's fantastic. It's, the first part is called Allowing Space for Grace, and the second part is called Owning the Center of Creation, and the third part is entitled J-O-Y equals Just Open Yourself. And I'm teaching that in Santa Barbara right now. Mostly everything I'm doing is in Santa Barbara, but I'm ready, willing, and able to start doing stuff in the Los Angeles area. So
Santa Barbara,
have people contact me, prana@pranazone.com. You'll have email address there, cell phone, and mailing address.
That's terrific. And another plug for Maggie in Santa Barbara and Zoran. We just really appreciate you facilitating us all getting together here. Now, Lita,
yes.
Go for it.
Yes, I have an exhibit that's up right now at the Peter Blake Gallery that's in Laguna Beach, Peter Blake, B-L-A-K-E. And I'm going to be giving a talk on Saturday from 2 to 4. And I'm also have a studio in Santa Monica on 18th Street and Olympic, where I invite people through my website, LitaAlbuquerque.com, to come, where I do give presentations. And I'm about to do a major project in the city of Paris.
All right. Do I get to go? Say yes.
Yes, of course.
Say yes. That's it. I love these things, and I can play it back on tape later if she forgets by any dream there. You can also check me out for a free consultation at drvalerie.com. I clear the emotional field so that you're free to see and receive all that's available to you in the universe, and that's a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're just very grateful for what's been going on here, and we ask you to do act or let yourself be acted upon. Time is changing very quickly right now. There's a lot of opportunity. I would have to say this is the most available we've probably been since we've been here, right?
Yes.
So this is the reason that we're on the air with you right now is because it's time for these conversations to begin to penetrate and engage the culture.
Exactly.
So if you had one wish for our listeners, would it be that they come to Santa Barbara and do a workshop, or what would it be?
That's one of them, or they can, if I just need venues in Los Angeles. But I'd like to offer my definition of real, because the title of the program is What's
yes.
Real. And what I was taught in the out-of-body experience is that which is eternal is real, and that which is temporary is illusion.
Oh, that's really good.
So go through your life. Look around you right now with any of your senses.
So I used to do a workshop in the 80s. And it would be, how would you live your life differently if you knew you were eternal?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a big change in what you do. Lita, what would you like to say to sign off here?
It's such a similar thing of really opening up to the inside. And inside, of course, you are the outside. You are the cosmos. And so it is that instead of being on the temporal, on the horizontal, we go into the real, which is the vertical. And I think that's the most important thing for all of us, to live in that space that is so joyous.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what Diamond Alignment is about, you guys. It's about vertical alignment. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Kayani, Dr. James Murphy, In Memoriam, and thank you to the team at Voice America. And to Bent Migan, I love you so much, for the theme music you wrote, Almost Ordinary People. And with regards to Bent Migan, on three or four different occasions, I have gone to him and said, write me a song. And I've commissioned him on four different occasions to do it, and every time he's come up with a winner. So if you need, see, there's his music right now. So next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And remember, Sidious, Altius, Fortius, higher, swifter, stronger. That's the creed of the Olympic torch. So there you go. And if you guys would hang around for a bit, I'd love to talk to you. And remember, bring a friend next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was great.
And it's time to open.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.